You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Well, right before we hear our passage today from Matthew 21, just as a reminder, this is one of the passages. Our passage today is the Leafy Branches Sunday version. There are no palms in it. But just as a little bit of background, you'll remember that at the time that the original Palm Sunday is said to have taken place, that Israel, Judea, was under the heel of Roman occupation, and they were doing everything they could to get out of that. Jesus was on one end of the spectrum of Jewish response, which was gathering people in a peaceful way, in a nonviolent way. But there were zealots out there that were attacking Roman columns and things like that at surprise attacks. So there were all kinds of different ways, and the Romans were nervous. About 30 years later, almost 40 years later, it took the Romans to lose complete patience and come in and absolutely destroy the temple. They took it down to one of the last stones standing, to the point that historians of the time said you could use an oxen and plow and go across where the temple had once been and not hit a large stone. So they were really angry. And the Jews had been a real pain to them for many, many years. And so it shouldn't be surprising that when they finally did win over the Jews and destroy their sense of identity by destroying the temple, they minted a coin. And you can say here that it says, Victory of Augusti, of the August One, right? It was Vespasian was the Roman ruler that was ruling at the time the Jews were wiped out, and Titus, his son, was the one who minted these coins. And on the flip side, you can see Judea Capta, Judea captive, or more clearly, Judea vanquished, destroyed. So they were so thrilled about finally getting rid of the Jews that they minted a coin about it. And what is at the center of both of those coins? A palm tree. Why? Because the palm is the symbol, and everybody knew that the palm branch was the symbol of a free Judea. So here you've got the goddess of victory, Nike, right there. Anybody wearing goddess of victory shoes today? There she is. She's victorious over this woman sitting there. And there you've got a Roman soldier that is also victorious over the woman sitting there. And the woman sitting there goes back to the prophecy in Isaiah that says, Judea will be ruined. Judea will be destroyed. So it's pretty amazing that the Romans were savvy enough to take even a Jewish scripture and say, all right, this was predicted and we get to be the ones to do it. And so as we listen to this passage today, you'll hear about Jesus asking for a donkey and a colt. I mean, it's already vulnerable enough that you've got this Roman legion coming in from the west, up from Caesarea Maritima, Roman soldiers with a white war stallion, and you've got this simple peasant leader on a donkey. It's worse than a donkey, right? It's a female donkey. Right? And it's worse than just a female donkey. It's a donkey with its colt, right? That is how vulnerable the situation is. It's supposed to be night and day. It's supposed to be black and white. So as we read this passage today, see just how amazingly strange it is that we, who are the ones that are supposedly waving the palm branches, are coming up against this power and might of imperial forces with such simplicity and vulnerability. Let's check out Matthew.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, The Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Hallelujah. your stories, how you shaped the world in love, birthed the oceans and the fertile lands, flung the shining skies above. Still you surround and fill us, you bring life into all things, into root and bud and fruit and leaf, into fins and furs and
our illustrious narrator lost his voice, and I lost my mind. So we haven't really done a lot of talking, but I want to thank you all for showing up and thank the choir and our awesome musicians for putting this on. This is one of my personal favorite songs. It's really old by today's standards, but I like it. And if you know it, please join in and sing along, okay?
Yeah.
Let us go from this place with love and grace in our hearts whenever we are serving a noble and unpopular cause with selfless devotion, holding to the ideals of truth and justice. Whenever we are seeking to uplift the fallen, to comfort the brokenhearted, to strengthen and encourage the weak and hopeless. Whenever we are working bravely and persistently in the face of abuse and criticism to establish more equitable relations in the world,
that is Palm Sunday.
Whenever we are sacrificing our lives in behalf of what we believe to be the service of love for all humanity, that is Palm Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.